are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? I know we still have a lot of heaviness in the air following last Friday's attacks in Paris. We'll talk about the psychological and political ramifications, and boy, are there a lot of them coming up. Also, on a lighter note, Free Flow Pop Culture Convo, I see your big story hashtags. We'll get to some of those. Some great music to soothe our soul, inspiration to action, challenge, success story, shout-out, inspiration from the late, great Kurt Vonnegut, which I think can apply to writers and all citizens today. And I will talk about the power of delusion. I'm not kidding. A lot of great music, too, to soothe our soul today. Get you in the mix if you're listening live. It is Tuesday, November 17th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east, number in motion 347-857-4505. And, of course, the aforementioned busy 24/7 Twitter feed at AB Writes, whether you're listening live or on podcast. And Aurora apprises us. The Facebook page is open for the more loquacious among us. The show today is being brought to you in part by Audiophile, music, books, podcasts, caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile. Also by Ford, power by design. So I often ask myself, whether you're dealing with personal interactions or the heavy-duty stories on the world stage, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Let's get by on a spin and a prayer. It is the Tuesday Coffee Clatch on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Welcome aboard.
Oh,
strange times in Portland, Maine. Lobsters dancing on the docks. Switzerland's been weird since they unplugged the clock. Mexico, the toreadors have all turned gay. Roman whores have quit to seek a better way. Dope has undermined the morale of the Buckingham Palace guards. Motorcycle gangs ride naked down Hollywood Boulevard.
Actually, I didn't really mean anything I just said.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Simon, Safe and Sound, and Elvis Costello's What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. Big question these days. I'll share a little cup of kindness as we try to grapple with the aftermath of those horrible attacks in France. I know all of us who went through 9/11 were having a little PTSD flashback to what it was like back then, and all the fear is reignited, and the fact that we live in a perilous world is forefront once again. This issue of how to deal with ISIS, and what about the Syrian refugee problem? All of these things are coming to the fore, and people are discussing it. The political fallout will continue for some time, I'm sure. It's getting ugly on the GOP presidential campaign, as if it wasn't ugly already. We have their swagger ratcheted up or down, depending on how you look at it, about 100 notches, with xenophobia at the center core. The leading contenders this time around appear to be Ted Cruz, who says nobody should be allowed in. If they're Muslim, only Christians and Jews. And Chris Christie, who I thought was kind of on the practical, straight-talking front, says nobody can come in, not even a three-year-old orphan. Now, I understand the fear of all of this. The truth is, first of all, no Syrian refugees are coming in yet. It's an 18-month vetting process, waiting period, that they have to wait to get in here. I know people are saying the vetting isn't going to be foolproof. Well, it won't be foolproof. Like, we can acknowledge that from the get-go because the databases are sketchy and everything's in turmoil over in Syria, and I get that. But then again, why would you use religion as a litmus test? Because people can just lie and say they're Christian to get in. That really goes against the grain. If you're going to apply that strategy, and I'm not saying you should just let everybody in. I'm not even saying that. You need to have a vetting process for sure. You need to apply caution. But to have a knee-jerk swagger that says we can't let anybody in and to just shut everything down means ISIS has already won. That's just the reality of it, because that goes against our values and what we stand for. And by the way, we've done this before. I mean, go back to in World War II when we turned around a ship of Jews and sent them back to Germany to face their death, 250 people, because we wouldn't let them in. Because there was anti-Semitism, we were afraid we weren't officially in the war yet. It's before we stood up. You like to scrub the history books to some of the bad things that America has done. But let's not repeat it. Let's learn from history. And the compassion that we have to have as a people, I mean, it has to be there. And you can't just shut the doors, because it doesn't work when you shut the doors anyway. I mean, the fact is ISIS is our enemy, and it is a very insidious enemy, but it's not easy to contain or control or destroy because it's not in one place. It's not just in Syria. It's not just, quote-unquote, over there, right? It's everywhere. There are people. Clearly, they were French nationals. They were Belgian nationals. They're English nationals. Jihadi John was an English national. There are Americans who are being recruited on a daily basis via social media. This is the thing I can get my mind around, is why would anybody from the Western world, regardless of their religious background, be lured into a terrorist group like that? How disenfranchised do you have to be, and how good is their propaganda? That's my question. That's where we have to start fighting it at that level, I think. What's your take? Reach out via Twitter, AB Wright's phone line, 347-857-4505. Do we have anybody yet? We'll work on that. We'll get the Twitter feed going with Aurora over there. But seriously, I think we have to step back, take some time to contemplate this a bit, and not just go with a knee-jerk reaction. My take. What's yours? Reach out. It is the AB Beth Darkley Show, 347-857-4505, and the Twitter feed. AB Wright.
Come on, keep smiling.
Tackling the aftermath of the horrible attacks in Paris, and all the political fallout, and the refugee issue looming large among many people. And, yeah, it's an issue which will be tackled over time. I know Paul Ryan said he wants to put a pause on it, but nobody's let in yet. There's a vetting process, so it takes a long time to get through anyway, however imperfect that vetting process may be. Sandy on the Twitter feed, I love this. She says, approach the refugee issue with compassion and caution. Yeah, both of those things can go hand in hand. With that in mind, Leon sent me a link to a story about Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who appeared before the Judiciary Committee today for the first time since taking office back in April. She said protecting the U.S. from the threat of the Islamic State and other terrorist groups is, in fact, the Justice Department's top priority. She said more than 70 people have been charged in the last 2 years for alleged conduct related to foreign fighter activity and homegrown violent extremism. Homegrown being the key words there, right? In response to a question about the risk of terrorists posing as refugees, she said that the robust screening process for those considered for immigration to the United States is more stringent than that in place in Europe. So she's trying to assuage fears. I don't think they'll be diminished, you know, eradicated that easily, but we've got to be sensible about this, reasonable, and think about it. And I do think thinking about it is important, and maybe there's some kind of compromise that can be struck. But to just sort of swat it away with xenophobic swagger is not the answer. To that end, Carlene writes in, Donald Trump now wants to shut down all the mosques. He's off the chain. Well, this is what happens, though, because that's his shtick. That's his act. He's using it to fuel his campaign, as so many of these people are, because they want to show that they're tough. And quite frankly, there are a lot of people who think that maybe President Obama is too lackluster. I heard somebody say he's not passionate in his response. He seems to take it all in stride. Everything's okay. In fact, on Friday before the attacks, he gave an interview that said everything's contained and we have it under control, and his response hasn't been much different. And I don't know if that's true. I think his response is still measured. I think we have already tried the shock and awe business in Iraq. It hasn't paid off. So where do you go from here, and what do you do? And I don't know what the answer is, and I'm not defending his position. I just think you need some careful contemplation before you just rush in. And certainly having the world help us, Putin now says he's going to get involved. France certainly is taking action because they were attacked themselves. It helps to have other people involved, not just in spirit, but actually doing some of the heavy lifting, because we have people over there in our all-volunteer army, tour after tour after tour, to get an impossible job done. You know, it's just, it's easier to get into something than to get out of it. I mean, the idea of getting rid of Assad would be great in Syria, except we did that with Saddam Hussein, and the fallout has been miserable. So unless you have something in place to replace the bad guy with, what do? It's not that easy. If it was easy, anybody could do it. And in fact, I'm not so impressed with the pool of candidates that we have who are trying to get that job. But we'll see how it all plays out. But it certainly is something to think about. And, you know, less quick trigger talk and more serious solutions might be at hand. And so far, you don't hear that much from the Republican end of things. The Democratic debate, which I saw a little bit of on Saturday, which focused more now on the world stage than it originally had intended to, did show some stark contrast, I think, between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Frankly, Bernie Sanders, in terms of the foreign policy end of things, did not come off that impressively. He tried to connect terrorism with climate change in a way that was perplexing to many people. Didn't quite put him on the Carson level, in my estimation, but maybe. I mean, climate change is a big issue. And I guess what he was trying to say was eventually you think it's bad now, it'll get worse when there's no water and people are fighting over that. And yes, it could come to that. I don't know that we're at that point yet. We're not living in a science fiction scenario quite yet. That doesn't mean it's not a real issue and we shouldn't be dealing with it. But to connect it to what the immediate threat is right now, I think is a big stretch and makes him seem a little bit on the crackpot end of things, which I don't think he belongs. And certainly in economics, I did a poll. Most people believe that Hillary Clinton won by a very wide margin, except when they broke down into various areas with the economy. From Democratic voters' perspectives, Bernie Sanders came out on top. So it's still a race there, but you do want someone with strength and pragmatism, which I think is where Hillary Clinton comes in. We'll see how that goes. It's a long way to go as well, but tough stuff indeed. But it all boils down to compassion, I think, is great. Compassion and caution. I really like that, Sandy. Thank you for contributing that, because it is true. Those things don't have to be mutually exclusive, and they can go hand in hand. And they certainly, compassion and creativity go hand in hand, the way you look at the world as an artist and putting out positive energy and positive works and what you say. Or even if it's not, you know, sometimes it's harsh. Sometimes the words are harsh. Sometimes the images are harsh, and that's okay, too. But you're contributing something in terms of reflection of what's going on in society. But they do go hand in hand. And it's interesting because last week would have been, I guess, Kurt Vonnegut's 93rd birthday, the late, great author. And there were a lot of things on social media about him and things that he said, and he wrote some great books. I remember being introduced to him in junior high, early high school, by a teacher. And it stuck with me, and I haven't revisited his work in a while. But I do remember reading Cats in the Cradle and Slaughterhouse 5. Really interesting, groundbreaking books in its day. And he was also someone who freely spoke to a lot of people and was a teacher and often gave guest lectures and workshops, and we're going to play a snip of one of those in just a moment. But I think one of the things that he says is what it comes down to: kindness. You know, he wrote a letter to the head of the board at Drake High School. He defended himself and his books by stating, there was always talk about banning his books too, because there were some controversial things in them. That the books, they beg that people be kinder and more responsible than they often are. This simple mantra is echoed in a number of his more formal writings, including God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, a 1965 novel about a philanthropic organization that goes wrong. And in it, he famously writes, "Hello, babies, welcome to Earth. It's hot in the summer and cold in the winter. It's round and wet and crowded. At the outside, babies, you've got about 100 years here. There's only one rule that I know of, babies. God damn it, you've got to be kind." I think that kind of sums things up really nicely, right? Thinking about writing and writers, here's a bit of an interview or a talk he gave to a bunch of college students in 1970 at NYU. Give a listen to the insights here.
Great pleasure to introduce Kurt Vonnegut.
I left Indianapolis following puberty. When I went to high school in Indianapolis, I learned how to walk around looking tough, because everybody had to do that, and I went out to Indianapolis, or I go out there occasionally, and I'm still doing it. It's walking around looking very tough, because something might happen, you know? I was raised by a black maid by the name of Ida Young. I probably talked to her more than anybody, so whatever is nutty about me was nutty about her too, I think, because I saw a lot more of her than I did of my parents. Now, here comes a rather intimate part, as I used to keep it a big secret, and I used to have awful guilt feelings. My mother was crazy toward the end. She was all right in the daytime unless you tried to take her picture. Where you get a bizarre reaction at night, she would really get wild, squaring people away and crashing around the house. That was barbiturates. These were supposed to tranquilize her, and they turned her brain to cobwebs. And I can't get mad at my mother because I pity her so much, is what she went through. I went and saw my parents' tombstone a couple of months ago, and I cried, and I hadn't cried for a long time, and what I was crying about was I wished they had been happier than they were, and I think this is probably a dumb thing to do. I think probably parents are much happier than the parents realize. I remember I asked my father what the happiest day of his marriage had been. This was after my mother died, and he said, well, they had an Oldsmobile, and they broke into the Indianapolis 500-mile speedway one Sunday and just drove around and around and around and around. I've heard that a writer is lucky because he cures himself every day with his work. What everybody is well advised to do is to not write about your own life. This is if you want to write fast. You will be writing about your own life anyway, but you won't know it. And the thing is, in order to sit alone and work all day long, you must be a terrible overreactor, and you're sitting there doing what paranoids do, is putting together clues, making them add up, you know. Putting the fact that they put me into room 471, you know, and what does that mean and everything? Well, nothing means anything, except the artist makes his living by pretending, by putting it in a meaningful hole, though no such holes exist, and you need paranoia for energy, too. You must be terribly worried and secretly full of hate. I am now older than George Orwell when he died. I'll soon be older than Jack Kerouac when he died. Anyway, I've wondered why all these people kill themselves. And I think that writers, creative writers, are in the process of becoming. They are humanity becoming. It's like reaching into the mouth of a student and taking a hold of a piece of tape in the back of the mouth without getting bitten and seeing what the hell's written on it, and then just keep pulling it out. And the person doesn't know what the hell it is. And I think it becomes an exhausting thing to do. That's about it. A lot of people decline to do it anymore. It becomes too unpleasant. I have written a story called The Big Space Fuck. And it's about this big it's about the end of the world. All they're left are lampreys and human beings, and they're turning into man-eating lampreys. The space program now has built this enormous spaceship, and the hope is that human life will somewhere go on. It's got a big warhead on it filled with sperm, you see. And they are firing this thing out there, hoping it'll hit something, you see. And life...
This episode is sponsored by Dropbox. Whether you're designing, presenting, writing, or building, Dropbox makes it simple to work together on any file. Because if you can work with anyone, anywhere, any way you want, the world will be full of more interesting things. Dropbox.
On the Amy Beth Arkley Show, and Kurt Vonnegut, in his own words, we should mention that's part of a series, Blank on Blank. They do these great videos, cartoon art that they design around actual vintage audio, and I will post the video for you, since we're on radio now, so you can take a peek at that too. And Kurt Vonnegut opening up to students back in 1970, he was about 48 years old at the time, talking about his life as a child, his parents, and the writing process, and how exhausting writing can be. Of course, it can also be exhilarating, and that goes for anything in the creative arts, I think. So always gratified when folks are participating in the Inspiration to Action Challenge and telling us about their success stories. I do appreciate it. And today we're going to salute Nell in Tacoma, Washington, who says she's diving into poetry and sculpture. She says, I've been doing this for a few months now. I decided I had some time for other circumstances, she writes, to devote to my creative life, and I decided to dive headfirst into the challenge, and it has helped me reinvigorate my creative engine. There you go. I'm glad it's working for you, Nell. Thank you so much for reaching out, and keep us posted. I hope it's working for you. If it is, I'd love to give you a shout-out. You can chime over to the website, amybetharkawy.com, A-R-K-A-W-Y, easy access, of course, via Twitter, and that's the place to go to tell us your success stories. We'll give you a shout-out. Never read anything or say anything, by the way, that you don't want us to, just so you know. It's all in the up and up. And also, of course, if you need some cajoling, you want to get your creative engine stoked again, I'll help you. Give you a primer on the challenge and talk you through some other tips and things. First conversation is always on me. So reach out, got nothing to lose. Amy Beth Arkawy, A-R-K-A-W-Y. So what's coming up next Tuesday? I'm so excited, of course. It's our third annual Grateful Bounty. Your great songs and requests, dedications, my songs, all of those put together in a lovely, heartfelt bounty of a blend. Unfortunately, some people are not thrilled about it, and I don't know why. You have to listen.
But you took me to your nest before it was too late and kept me warm. And you helped me incubate, and now you're back. And you're the bomb. Warm put me on a plate next to your wife's cranberry sauce. I should've known this day would come. I should've known not to relax. If I thought for just one second you'd come in here with that act on. Now go. Walk out the door.
Don't like the Grateful Bounty, but everybody else does. That's Miss Gobbler, and she will survive. Join us next Tuesday, November 24th, for the third annual Grateful Bounty. We've got a great bounty of requests and dedications, some new music that I've discovered for you. Put it all together in a scrumptious feast. We'll share it. We'll talk about blessings. We'll talk about our holiday plans and, of course, the all-important Thanksgiving Day dish wish list. That's all coming up live on Tuesday, November 24th, and thereafter on podcast. And we may even do up last year's show as the leftovers because it's still delightful for Friday. But we'll talk about that later. It is the Amy Beth Arkawy Show. Reach out via Twitter at AB Writes. Lynette chiming in and says, you know, we can't just shut down the borders. We can't just close up shop here. That would go against the American way and the enemy would win. Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. You know, I agree with the compassion and caution thing that Sandy indicated, but I think we really have to realize what our American values are. Step back a little bit, people. Just step back and let's see. But it is, you know, tough times. Got to agree with that. And Phelps on the Twitter feed, hashtag big story. Are you going to talk about Charlie Sheen and his revelation? Yeah, we will. A lot of people want to talk about this. The actor went on the Today Show this morning to reveal that he is, in fact, HIV positive, but he does not have AIDS. He says, and I think this is kind of disturbing, that he got the diagnosis about 4 years ago and said he has been being blackmailed or extorted, I guess, ever since, because he's shared it with only a few people in his inner circle, and people have been extracting money from him to keep quiet, and he finally said he had enough. It took him 4 years. It's too bad he couldn't feel comfortable enough to come out 4 years ago, so it kind of shows that there's still a stigma attached to this diagnosis, which at one point was considered a death sentence. Now, not so much. You can live a very long life. There's a certain kind of, you know, drug protocol that you have to undergo. As we said, he does not have AIDS, so he just has the virus. I don't know if he addressed, I didn't see the interview, I just read about it. I saw a snippet of it. I don't know if he addressed what caused, you know, what happened. He had a, you know, pretty reckless lifestyle for a long time with indiscriminate sex, with prostitutes and other people, and some drug use. He says it was nothing to do with needles. He's not sure how he got it. He did say, though, that I felt was kind of disturbing. He revealed that he has had unprotected sex twice since the diagnosis, but the people knew about it and they're under his physician's care. So does that mean they contracted it? I guess there were a lot of rumors floating around why he decided to come out now in terms of being extorted, but also there were rumors that he was infecting people on purpose and that kind of thing, which is a dreadful thing to assert. I don't know, but it's a tough story indeed, and, you know, your heart has to go out to anybody. Whatever the situation may be, nobody wants anybody to be sick, certainly, but you do have to be responsible in your life. And I think what happened with HIV and AIDS, because you can now consider it a chronic condition, a lot of people aren't taking the precautions they started to take in the 80s and the 90s. So you see people who fall back into kind of promiscuous patterns and that sort of thing. So people need to know that it's still an issue and it still isn't a cure, but there are things that can keep you alive. But certainly a tough story, and we wish him the best. And he says he doesn't fear for his career, and he never did, which you got to think he must have, or why would he keep it a secret for all those years? It just doesn't make sense, but he's certainly entitled to well-wishing, I think, and we just have to extend that love and kindness that we were talking about to everybody. What's your take? Reach out via Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 2347-857-4505. So it may have been a bad day, but then again, it'll probably get better. He's released from that, what he called prison.
A public service announcement followed me home the other day. I paid it, never mind. Go away. Shit so thick you can stir with a 6 feet Teflon whitewash presidency. We're sick of being jerked around. Wear that on your sleeve. Broadcast me a joyful noise. Reach in the time. Lord, count your blessings. We're sick of being jerked around. We all fall down. Have you ever seen the televised invited subcommittee prize? Investigation dance. Those ancient man plans says I look behind the eyes. It's a hallowed, hollow anesthetized. Take my illness, screw these guys. Smoke and mirror lock down. Broadcast me a joyful noise. Reaching the times, Lord, count your blessings. The papers wouldn't lie. I sigh, not one more. It's been a bad day. Please don't take a picture. It's been a bad day. Please, it's been a bad day. Please don't take a picture. It's been a bad day. Please, we're dug in deep. The price is steep. The auctioneer is such a creep. The lights went out, the orange dry. We blamed it on the other guy. Sure, men are created equal. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. We stay till we cut the steeple. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Broadcast me a joyful noise. And see the time is Lord. Count your blessings. Ignore the law of fear. Oh, death means war. It's been a bad day. Please don't take a picture. It's been a bad day. It's been a bad day. Please don't take a picture. It's been a bad day.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the program, Dawes. People say to me, when you're done with the show, what will you do? And I'm happy to announce that I'm joining Dawes.
Hey.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome aboard. It's Dawes, ladies and gentlemen, and all your favorite bands. God bless you. Good to see you again. Good night, everybody.
great radio song, No Surrender, Springsteen from the Born in the USA collection on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Dawes, live on Letterman, shortly before Dave called it quits. Things happen from that great new album, All Your Favorite Bands. I'll tell you, Dawes is one of my favorite new bands, that's for sure. And R.E.M., not so new, but still love them. And Bad Day, sending that one out to Charlie Sheen. It Will Get Better. And what a relief he must feel for finally getting that secret diagnosis off his chest. People just don't know what kind of secret lives other people are living and what pain people are often in. Reach out, if you can, to somebody. Of course, he did reach out to people, and then it backfired against him because they extorted money from him. Dreadful, just dreadful. On the Twitter feed at AB Writes, with that in mind, Carrie says, yeah, I feel for Charlie Sheen, but he's got to take some responsibility for his reckless lifestyle. Yeah, well, there's that, for sure. But, you know, now he's got the issue, he's got to deal with it, and hopefully he can do so in a positive way and make some changes, as he says he'd like to do. So, I wish him the best. Also on the Twitter feed at AB Writes, Renata says, really enjoy your show. I love the way you have with lifting spirits with your words and music. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Renata. That means so much for me. I'm glad you are enjoying the show, and it's making you feel good, because that's what it's all about. Nixie says, one of our hardier regulars, really enjoying the show as usual. AB will have to catch most of it on podcast. Indeed, they're all archived as such. So don't forget, you can follow us a number of places. Just go to the website, and you'll get all the details there. I'm always giving them promotion. Hey, let's do some Forgotten 45s. You always have some good ones. And this one, we'll start with a belated birthday wish to one of the great ladies of song, Petula Clark, celebrated her 83rd birthday on Sunday, November 15th. Still going strong, doing some cabaret and Broadway and that kind of thing. So good for her. Petula Clark, great music. For Jeremy, you want a little break in the action? Head downtown. The Forgotten 45 on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close downtown. Just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The lights so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, where all the lights are bright. Downtown, waiting for you tonight. Downtown, you're gonna be alright now. Forget all our troubles, forget all our cares, so go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. Don't wait a minute more, downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
So, you guys hear anything good on the radio lately?
Thank you.
it on Claudia. That's a forgotten 45. Alan O'Day, an undercover angel on the Amy Beth Arkwright show. All those 70s disco synthesizers. Wow. Hold Back the Night from the Tramps from Mitch. And Dean wanted to hear Billy Bland's Let the Little Girl Dance, also known as the Wallflower Song. Belated birthday wishes, a pair for Petula Clark. Jeremy wanted to hear Pet Herself in Downtown. And I plucked that Edison Lighthouse song from Obscurity. It's up to you, Petula. It is the Amy Beth Arkwright show. You got a Forgotten 45 you'd like us to play. Toss it at us via Twitter, AB Writes, hashtag Forgotten 45. Or you can do so via the website, amybetharkwight.com. Well, don't toss it because it may break. But you know what I mean. We're balancing fun and frivolity with the heaviness of the day because music can really, you know, soothe your soul, raise your spirits, and lower your blood pressure. It's been proven. They've done studies. So indulge in a joyful noise or two or six. You know what else can help you live longer and feel better? Drinking coffee. Yeah, our executive producer, Mary Lee, wanted to point out there's yet another study, this one from Harvard University, that confirms that coffee drinkers live longer and can stave off some serious illnesses from diabetes to cardiovascular issues and suicide. They're not exactly sure why, but it does work. They do want to warn, though, that you can't drink coffee to offset smoking. You still have to do that on your own. Some people used to think smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee went hand in hand. Like the old radio days, when you used to walk into a radio studio, coffee cup in hand, and the DJ before you would be smoking. It would be like a cloud of smoke everywhere you went, but not anymore. The smoking isn't permitted in studios anymore, or anywhere, really, which is a good thing. But drinking coffee is good for you. Mary Lee wanted us to point it out, so I will, and it's appropriate on the coffee clatch to indulge in a cup of coffee or tea. I think tea is good for you, too. We're doing the Java Jive on the Amy Beth Arkwright Show.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Jaffa and me, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Jaffa sweet and high, whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Oh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug. And I cut a rug till I'm snug in a jug. A slice of onion and a raw one.
Draw one.
Waiter, waiter, percolator.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boston beans,
soybeans,
I said the little itty bitty green beans,
cabbage and green.
Know that I'm not kidding about a bean, unless it is a chili, chili bean.
Talk it, boy.
I love Java, sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie. You shoot me the pie, now pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup of that sand moss.
Ooh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug. And I'll cut a rug that's snug in a jug. Drive your nickel in my pot, Joe. Take it slow, waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee, I love. Java and me,
yeah.
A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Boy.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load. And if you see your birds that are falling by the way. Just stop and say, when you're going the wrong way, you've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. Narrow-minded street. Don't walk around the down and out, lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Yes, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness. Narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded.
Cup of Kindness, the great Glenn Campbell on the Amy Beth Arcuri Show, a man who has publicly shared his trials and tribulations with such grace. And, of course, the Java Jai from the fantastic Manhattan Transfer for our executive producer, Mary Lee. Coffee's good for you, I know. We'll get you a cup. Don't worry about it. Hey, thanks so much for playing with us in real time on the Twitter feed, etc. Don't forget, you can, of course, catch all the shows on podcast. Follow the Amy Beth Arcuri Show at the Blog Talk Radio site. Get the Stitcher app. Find us on Mixcloud, select editions on PopNet, the Arts Radio Network, and all roads leading back to the website, amybetharcuri.com. That's where you go if you want to chime in to be a guest, creativity coaching questions, or to peruse the Eliza Gordon Mystery Series, both Killing Time and Dead Silent, available for ebook and paperback from Cozy Cat Press, Book 3, Final Stretches, coming soon. Yes, indeed. Hope you're going to like it. So what are we going to do? Okay, so on Friday, I want to tell you, Donica Knight will be here. She's an indie rocker, great sound, indie country rocker. So we'll enjoy her sound, enjoy some other country free-fried form. Free-fried? Country fried, free-form Friday. There you go. I still got 3 minutes to talk. The mouth has to keep working. And the mouth-brain connection has to keep working. That's the issue. So that's what we're going to do. Of course, the Grateful Bounty next week. In the meantime, drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arcuri Show. And I'm going to leave you with a beautiful one from the Alternate Roots. We're here to love and nothing more. Take care. Spread some kindness today. The heart.
Peace.